Welcome to the Goalie Mindset Podcast. My name is Pete Fry, the Goalie Mindset Guy, and my purpose is to help goalies have a dominating goalie career. Pete Fry, the Goalie Mindset Guy here. This is Goalie Mindset Podcast. Excited to have Cody Porter on for today. Cody, thanks for coming on, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. I would shake your hand, but I'm rehabbing my shoulder here.
It's a work in progress.
Yes. Good. Anyways, Cody just signed a pro deal and he's going to tell you about it.
Yeah. Came to terms with a team in Allsvenskan, which is the second highest league in Sweden. It's right below the SHL. It's been a league that's hosted a lot of really great players. The team I'm going to is Västerviks, and it's a good young team that's, you know, pushing to get into the playoffs this year. And it's going to be a great opportunity for me to go in there and really help them out and, you know, help them win games. And I'm really excited for it. And obviously, throughout this process, a lot of people have asked, hey, you know, what are you waiting for? What are you signing? You know, when are you signing? It's November now. And I made a decision this summer with my agent that we wanted to make the best decision for my career.
Yep.
And obviously, long term, my goal is to come back to North America. So I don't want to just, you know, sail off into the sunset in Europe. So we wanted to either look in Sweden or Finland. Look in Liga. And then obviously SHL would be a little bit of a stretch right now.
Yeah.
But Allsvenskan was somewhere that I really
It's a good league.
I've heard great things about it.
I played Div 1 in Sweden. There was NHL players in Div 1. Yeah. That's a good league.
Yeah.
But then you go, and there was a team called Rugla, which are they in? What league are they in now?
They're in the SHL
right now. So they're in the SHL, okay, because they were.
But
they
can go up and down.
I know. Yeah. So it's a good league. So congrats.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
Congrats. And I know you had a lot of success last year in the Liga, which is the top league in Finland. Tell us about that. Tell the listeners about your experience in Liga.
Liga was great. I mean, obviously, I got that opportunity through Roki, which I've got to give them a lot of credit for. That was the Mestis team I spent most of the season last year. And just a really good development team, you know, team that was ready to win. I think we had one of the better teams in that league. The goalie coach there was awesome. He pushed me really hard to be better. And then getting the call up to Liga, it started where I went to Tappara. I was on a 1 week loan, and obviously Tappara ended up winning a Liga championship as well as all of Europe. So it was a really great experience to see how they do everything there. Pretty much every import there has lots of NHL experience. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to see. And just what it takes to play at the, not just at the higher levels, but to be a really successful team.
Yep.
And then transitioning into ASAD, the team I played four games with near the end of the year. It was a good situation. I was filling in for their starter who was injured, but overall just a really good experience. I mean, it's such a good league. I mean, it's arguably a, you know, top two league in Europe, and a lot of great players go there. And the thing I like about Liga is they're developing players for the National Hockey League. And that's the one thing goalie coaches say is, hey, you know, if you play well here, you give yourself a really good chance. And I like that mindset where it's, you know, because I know, you know, there's a lot of great leagues around Europe and it's not taking anything away from them. You can get more money elsewhere. You know, there's so many great players in leagues right now, but in terms of, you know, like I said before, kind of being on that road to come back to North America.
Yeah.
I want to play in a league that's going to support that.
And help you play in the National Hockey League, which is your target.
That's my target.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And it always has been.
It always has been. Yeah. And I mean, you look at a lot of different guys, like Tim Thomas is a great example. I think he spent 4 years in Liga and didn't come over to the NHL till 31.
Yeah.
And there's lots of guys, like I didn't even realize it, but there's so many Finnish guys that have done that. Nicholas Backstrom was another guy in his 30s. I think Joni Ortio. Kari Ramo.
Really?
Yeah, lots of guys come over later. So Victor Fast, he came over at 29 for Anaheim Ducks. And most recently, Matt Tompkins, Canadian boy, you know, he spent two or three seasons in Sweden.
Yep.
And he got his NHL debut a few weeks ago for Tampa Bay, and I think he's 29 or 30. Yeah. So, you know, as a goalie, obviously, it's just about getting better every year. And for me, my focus has just been on, you know, the present, not worrying about the future or the past, and just, you know, focusing on what I can do to help the team I'm with win.
performing in the moment.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And heck, we've been kind of working together on and off since you were with, Giants or was it Calgary? Maybe it was Calgary.
I think it was right when Calgary hit me
in the Western Hockey League.
Calgary, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can remember that. I remember working on we worked on a reset.
Yep.
Right. Are you okay to tell that story?
Because
it's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
And do you want me to tell or you want to tell it?
Yeah, you can tell it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was from what I remember. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
I remember I was in an Earls at the time when I was talking to you, and I had to go in the bathroom so that I could hear you. Earls is a restaurant. It's a chain of restaurants in Western Canada. And I remember you're talking to me about your game, how you were feeling good. And then when you didn't come up with a save, it was like, okay, here we go again. Here we go. That was kind of like the mentality. And so we really emphasized and talked about a reset when not coming up with a save, the shoulders back, chin up, smiling and all that good stuff. And so I want you to tell it from there. You tell it from there. So
yeah, I won't say any names because I don't want to call anybody out. But so we worked on that, and it was a young team in Calgary, and it was a great team to play for. I mean, I've got nothing but good things to say about there. It's such a great organization, but it was a harder team as a goalie to play for because we gave up a lot of scoring chances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was a lot of games I played where I'd give, not come up with three or four saves and I'd feel happy about how I played.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look at the paper and or the website and you're, 870 save percentage in the game and you're happy with how you played. So mm-hmm. It kind of shows you can't just look at numbers.
Yeah.
One of our staff members, he wasn't very happy because in the Saddle Dome in Calgary, it's the big Jumbotron NHL.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And right after you don't come up with the save, they always pan on the goalie's face.
Yeah.
And I was smiling because you said, hey, smile after.
Part of the reset. It's a smile when you don't make a save.
Yeah. So he saw that and he came up to me after the game and he was like, hey, not in these words, but hey, what are you doing? Like, why are you smiling after the other team?
And he said different words?
It was different words, yeah. But somebody who does it quite well. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think Martin Jones does it after he doesn't come up with a save.
Yeah.
So it's just good because it's like we've talked about, right? Like the mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's not, and
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like you go to a scary movie, you don't know it. You know it's not real, but you can get scared.
Still, you get scared. Yeah, the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference.
That was something that was really important, and it helped a lot with consistency for sure.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. When you don't make a save, make sure to smile after. Stand tall, shoulders back, chin up, smile. They show you on the Jumbotron smiling.
Yeah.
You did there. That was awesome. Okay. So what, as far as your vision and your goal, because everyone listening, the one thing that impresses me about Cody so much is he's crystal clear on where he's going. Like you're crystal clear.
For sure, yeah.
Like he is crystal clear. And on the way there, there's going to be ups and downs. It's like a plane is in the air and you're traveling from say Vancouver to Hawaii and that plane's in the air and you don't know that plane is actually off track about 95% of the time, maybe even more. But what happens, because it knows exactly where it's going, it just keeps adjusting. It hits some winds and knocks it off track. It keeps adjusting. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't really understand. Cody really understands it. A lot of people don't understand is that to get to where you want to go, there's going to be many times when it may feel that or look like you're totally off track. But as long as you have that clear vision of where you're going, you always find a way to get back on track. And that's exactly what you've done.
For sure.
Like you have done that 100%, overcoming maybe not playing on the team you wanted to play on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right? And that has been a great trait of yours. What has been a time that you're most proud of that you have overcome as far as maybe somewhere you were playing or something like that?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I think coming out of junior, it kind of goes on that. Like I was in really good position at 19.
Mm-hmm.
I started the season I think through the first 20 games, I was like 925
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had NHL teams saying, hey, you know, we might sign you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, had a minor injury that I played on, and that kind of derailed me. And then I eventually had a really serious injury that required me to get surgery my 20-year-old year. So I basically missed half my 19-year-old year. And then my 20-year, I was playing with that injury in tier two leagues, but I couldn't really play. And I ended up getting the surgery, and I haven't noticed it since, which is great.
You're stronger than ever now.
Yeah,
like I remember meeting with you and you're like, I'm coming back stronger than ever.
Yeah,
so it's like the Tom Brady mentality.
Yeah. And it, you know what, like the surgery went great, and but it kind of made me have to start from the ground up again. And, you know, I just went wherever I could play, and it wasn't easy. You know, I mean, I felt like, if I had stayed healthy, I would have, you know, been somewhere different, but it's somewhere that you can't really worry about. And, you know, you have your own path, and for me, it's been a bit unique. You know, I've played in some pretty interesting leagues, and I've taken games wherever I could get them, you know, and that's the thing. People look at my, you know, elite prospects page and they say, hey, how come you played for five teams one season? And it was literally like, you know, our coach was like, hey, this team needs a goalie this weekend. Do you want to go? And I'd go on a loan and then come back. So it wasn't that a team doesn't want me. It was just that I wanted to play. And for me, especially coming off of a year where I didn't play much with the surgery, I wanted to get as many games as I could. And, you know, I started in Watertown and I was getting
60, in the FHL.
Yeah, 60 shots a game.
Which is crazy. So I want you guys to fathom that. So this is how committed Cody is. This is how committed he is. And is to stick to his vision, you know, he was willing to play in the FHL.
Yeah. And I have a lot of respect for the FHL, I think.
And I love that. That's what makes it different. I want to hear that.
I have a lot of respect for the league. I'm quite good friends with a lot of the staff in that league. And I know a few players in that league, and I have a lot of respect for it. I mean, obviously it gets a reputation, maybe for not the best reasons, but I mean, really things in that league that get magnified is the one thing that happens every 20 games.
Yeah.
And that's what people see. But I mean, there's a lot of good players there. And I think that in terms of loyalty to players, I absolutely thought it, I liked how it was run a bit better than the SP, to be honest. Hmm. That's nothing against the SPHL. It's just, for me, I had a better experience in terms of, you know, how, you know, not professional it was, because obviously the SPHL is a bit more professional of a league in terms of arenas, but just in terms of, like, you know, the loyalty to you, like in the, you know, I found at least for me in the FHL, you know, they were allowing me the opportunity to develop. Whereas in the SPHL, it's like, if you play one bad game, they cut you.
Really?
And, I mean, everyone's going to have a different experience, and I don't want to talk bad about the league, but, you know, I never understood why Scott Darling, who's the only goalie to ever come out of the SPHL and make it to the NHL.
Well, you'll be the next guy.
How he talked so negatively about the SPHL. I never understood that. I was like, how does, you know, he talk so negatively? It helped him get to the NHL. And but after kind of experiencing the SPHL, I can kind of see why.
So okay.
I don't want to say too much stuff about it.
But yeah,
I
yeah, just, yeah.
I didn't have the best experience. With that said, I think out of every place I've played, Knoxville's the best city I've ever played in.
Yeah.
It's an awesome place.
And it's interesting that you say that, because I actually played in Knoxville in the East Coast League.
It's an awesome place.
And you know how you're saying about the FHL, how it's, you know, it's still there's good stuff there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So I remember I was playing the ECHL, and I was speaking to my old goalie partner in the Western Hockey League, Wade Flaherty, who ended up playing for, well, he's a goalie coach for Winnipeg Jets. He played in the NHL for a while. But I remember talking to him, and I had the worst attitude ever back then. Like, that's why I do what I do, because I think I was so messed up mentally. But I remember saying, oh, this is terrible here. Players aren't, like, it's not good hockey, stuff like that. And I was like whining, basically.
Yeah.
And his mentality was, it's good hockey.
Yeah.
Right. It's good hockey.
For sure. I mean, there's good players.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Makes it big. And on my team that year, five guys ended up playing in the National Hockey League, like from that specific team. And it was my mentality was messed up. And the thing that I like about you is that, you know where you're going, and you keep, we can filter anything. The mind can make a heaven of hell a hell of a heaven. So someone could have played in the FHL and say, it's the worst thing ever. Some could have played there and said, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
It's up to you guys to decide. So the lesson here with Cody, now Cody played in Liga last year. That's one of the top leagues in the world. Like, That's one of the top leagues in the world. So
I think it was third ranked league.
Yeah, there's probably some teams there that would compete very heavily with NHL teams.
Well, especially this year, the bottom end NHL teams are pretty.
Yeah, they would probably lose to a team in Liga, right? And there's lots of players that are playing in Liga that could easily step into the National Hockey League.
Well, I think what people don't realize is how good the players are in Europe. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one big thing. I didn't know much about European hockey before I went over there my first year to Poland. But, like, you know, you look at teams, like there's teams in the German league and the Dell or even the Austrian league, and they play against an NHL team in exhibition and they win.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good hockey. There's a lot of really good players. There's a lot of players who I talk to over in Europe that they could be a fourth line guy in the NHL or be a up and down between the American league or the NHL. And they say, you know what, I'd rather just play in Europe. I can make good money and it's a great lifestyle. And, yeah, so that's really a good point. But I mean, yeah, like I, you know, for me coming into the Federal League, you know, I just tried to make the best of it, and things aren't going to be perfect. You know, my year there, we didn't have an equipment manager.
That's awesome.
There was nobody there. So I think I went like 2 months without getting my skates
straight. Oh my God. Oh my God.
But it's, you know, you just take it for what it is.
It's an example. Yeah. It's just you overcoming adversity.
Yeah. And great guys too. Like awesome guys on the team. Like some of the best people you'll meet in those leagues. Same within the SPHL. Like, you know, for the most part, with the exception of maybe one team I was on, the guys were all great. And, you know, it's guys that aren't making much money and they're playing the game because they love
They love to play it. Do you want more shutouts? There's nothing more powerful than my private Zoom coaching to help you perform better to get more shutouts. Check it out at PeteFry.net. So what's next for you? You got the contract. You're going to Sweden.
Going to Sweden.
Do you know any Swedish?
I don't know.
Tallar ni svenska? That means can you speak Swedish?
I've done a good job learning Finnish.
Okay.
It's different.
You got to say, jag är en målvakt. Jag är en målvakt.
I am a goalie.
And connect me. If you're Swedish, you can correct me. I think it says I am a goalie.
Yeah, that sounds
right. Yeah, målvakten is a goalie. Målvakten.
But yeah, I'm excited to head over there. I mean, for me, you know what? I've always, you know, tried to take what the opportunity I have and make the best of it. And you know, one of the things I wanted to touch on was some of the biggest adversities in the last few years, which we can get into.
Yes,
you know, quickly.
Let's do that.
Yeah, in terms of what's next, I mean, you know, my goal there is to help them get in the playoffs. Been in the playoff spot in a few years, and
I want to change that target. Can I help you change it?
Sounds good.
Because remember when you overcame your injury, and we set a target for you. This is in Calgary to get the team in the playoffs.
Yep.
And you achieved it.
Yep.
You came back and it was phenomenal.
Yeah. We needed, but 8 out of final 12 points to make the playoffs.
Yeah. And like you did it for your team.
4-1. Yeah.
Freaking right. Now, so what I'm saying is we got to think beyond that.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get your team in the playoffs. You want to help them win the playoffs.
For sure. Absolutely.
Right? That's all. I'm just saying, like, it's like that plane, right? If you want to go to Hawaii, you got to buy the ticket for Hawaii.
Yeah, I think for sure. And I agree with that 100%. I mean, obviously it's one thing at a time. You know, so that's my first goal, is to help them get there, and then we'll focus on the rest after that. And I mean, everybody knows playoff hockey, anything can happen. It doesn't matter where you finish. So
yeah. Well, maybe help your team move up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? To the SEL.
Yeah, that's the great thing. That's the great thing about Sweden. And I know, having been in Finland for the past couple of years, that's one thing a lot of people have said, is they wish there was relegation and promotion between Liga and Mestis, and they're
gonna, and there isn't
there there's not but really? They're adding it, so
it'd be neat if they had it over here in the NHL.
Oh,
imagine that.
I mean, there's a team that's given up what 20 goals in the last two games in the NHL, so it's not good for the league. I mean, you've got, you know, they're listing attendance at 10,000. I think there's probably 4,000 people at some games in the NHL this year. So yeah, but it's exciting. I mean, for me, I'm just going to make the best of this opportunity, and then everything else will take care of itself. And I think that, you know, over the past 3 years, really, I feel over the past 2 years, I've become a better goalie in the past 2 years than I have any time before that. And in Finland, I just listened to the goalie coaches and I just worked hard and put my head down, and I've improved so much, and I feel like, you know, getting into games and playing at a high level, it's helped me a lot. And
And you feel like right now, I'm pretty certain you feel like right now you could step into the National Hockey League and play well.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a big difference between playing a game and playing a full season. But yeah, absolutely. I feel that, you know, there's so many good players everywhere, right? Like the difference between, you know, a guy playing in the NHL right now and a guy playing in the ECHL is so small.
Yeah, it is.
People don't realize that. But yeah, it's a great opportunity and I'm really excited to make the most of it. And I think that, you know, it's on the right, I'm on the right path. And that's really what we've been trying to focus on. And I mean, like I said to you before, I mean, there's been some pretty big adversities that I've had to deal with. And, you know, I've learned really to not get my hopes up because I have before and they come crashing down. And, you know, one of the biggest adversities I've had is I signed in the ECHL with Jacksonville 3 years ago.
After you had that, after you moved up. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I was in Poland and that was a good experience. I was only over there on a, you know, three month contract, young team. I think the team won three games all year. So it was, but it was still a great experience.
Is that when you had to play through COVID or something?
Yeah, I had COVID and I felt terrible and I had to play, but but I'd say probably that was one of the biggest adversities was Jacksonville because I was in Vancouver and if you go on, you know, MapQuest or whatever, you know, Google Maps, and you can add this into the podcast. I think it's like takes 5 days of driving. It's a 50-hour drive
to get to Jacksonville.
Yeah. So I drove. Yeah. The contract was signed. I talked to the coach. Everything
was good. Was it Jacksonville?
Jacksonville Iceman.
Yeah. I've been to Jacksonville before.
So I drove down and the team was actually playing in Greenville.
Okay.
So I drove to Greenville, South Carolina, I believe it is. And I get there and I just driven 4 days. And I'm like, all right, like I'm excited to be here. And I go to the rink and, I unpack my gear and it's a game day. They weren't skating in the morning. Go back to the hotel, go up to the hotel room and, you know, everything's good. I go down for a pregame meal. And then the coach calls me. I'm like, you know, what's going on? He said, hey, we have some bad news. And I said, what's that?
As soon as he says that, thanks for the
pregame. I said, what's that? And, you know, for people who don't know, like, they don't often pay your travel. So I paid probably, you know, probably cost me almost $1,000.
Oh yeah. Easily.
And, he's like, hey, we have some bad news. Your contract got declined by the league because you were in Europe after a certain date. So I guess during COVID, because everybody was going over to Europe, they put in a rule that said, if you played in at least 10 games, you have to come back by December 1st.
Okay.
And I was over there until December 15th. But the training camps in the ECHL that year didn't start till January. So it was a bit kind of weird. And I said, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I only played 8 games. I didn't play 10.
Yeah.
Well, they put a clause in after the original rule that said, no, it's just games dressed. So I had dressed 11 games.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So I was down there and that was really hard. I'm like, you know, I drove so long and for that to happen, that was pretty tough. And I remember calling some people after that happened. I was pretty down, but, you know, it was a good learning experience. And, you know, I was,
so that was it. You had to leave.
Yeah. They're just like, thanks for coming. Drive.
You're like,
the coach gave me $200. It's like, here's $200 bills.
He must have felt bad. The coach must have felt bad.
It was out of his wallet. So I think that he probably.
Oh, he
had in his wallet. It's like, here you go. And I think I ended up going down to Miami and just staying down there for a few weeks.
Okay.
Just because I was like, you know, I knew.
Did you get on the ice at all?
Yeah, I knew a few people down there. So I ended up skating, but that was it for that season. And then the next season was when I went to Finland. And
that was it? So you didn't play that season?
I just played 8 games in Poland.
So
it was a bit of a weird year. Like, at the beginning of the year, I had signed with an ECHL.
It was a lot of people. It is a strange
year. Yeah, I signed in the summer with an ECHL team that year, but then the team called and said, hey, we're not playing this year. So then my agent found something for me in Poland, which actually I was pretty impressed with that league that year because there were some good players over there.
Yep.
Those teams had quite a bit of money that year from the government stuff. But just played that year and then went to Finland the next year and spent the past two seasons in Finland. And I mean, the goalie coaching over there is tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing, like the goalie coaching in Finland is awesome.
Yeah. They're known for it.
Yeah. It's really helped my game. Like, like I said, when I look at my game 3 years
ago. And who is the guy, who's the goalie coach that has helped you the most over in Finland?
I mean, there's so many. You know, I mean, I can pretty much list off every goalie coach I've had over there. I mean, Jani Borg was the goalie coach who scouted me for IPK. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have gotten an opportunity there. And
he
took a bit of a risk on me because I had only played eight games the season before that. And he was great. And I didn't get to spend really much time with Saipa that year, and the goalie coach didn't speak English, so that was a little bit challenging. But
and there's no way you're speaking Finnish. That is like you can learn to speak Swedish. Finnish is a whole different.
Yeah, and I've done a good job of learning it now, but in your first 6 months, it's
you can speak a little Finnish?
A little bit. I can understand.
What can you say?
Well, just like different sentences.
I'm calling Cody out here.
Yeah, just different sentences. And
that's a challenging. You got to roll the tongue or whatever. When
it's like intros, like, hi, how you doing? And then, but
you say hi, how you doing?
Well, you can say it a few different ways. You could say like, moi mita kulu.
Okay.
And then,
because in Swedish is hey, you can just go hey.
Yeah. Hey. So, I mean, you could say that. Too. I mean, it's easy over there because everybody pretty much speaks English, but Finland's been great. I mean, I have a lot of friends over there and I probably know as many people over there as I do over here. So, I keep in touch with a lot of people over there and, I've missed it for sure. Like, I'm excited to be one country over.
Let's talk just briefly about your goalie coaches over here.
Yeah.
Who are the guys that have influenced you the most?
Yeah.
On the ice.
Just to finish the last.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cut it in. But, last season, Juha Sorinen, I was the goalie coach in Rovi.
Juha Sorinen. Okay.
He was great. Pushed me really hard.
Yep.
I told him first day, I said, hey, you know, how hard do you train goalies? He said, really hard. I said, train me harder than any goalie you've ever had. And that's what I said to him. I said, just really be hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I want to be held really to a high standard.
Yeah.
And he pushed me hard. And that's what I needed. And it made me be consistent. And it made me feel like, you know, I could play a game where I played really well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we win 4-1 and I make 35 saves out of 36 and I'm feeling great. And he would make me feel like I allowed 10 goals.
What would he say to you?
Just, we'd go over video and he'd point out like 15 different mistakes, which is great. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And it really showed me that you can always be better.
You can always get better no matter what.
And he was good. Like, you know, for me, he pushed me really hard, but he also knew like when to kind of back it off. And over a long season, especially up there, the team's like in the Arctic Circle. So it's so cold and dark. You're always sick. And you know, you're always dealing
cleaning your body out.
Yeah. So it's,
we don't say the word sick. It's a negative image in the head. You say cleaning the body out.
Yeah. So, but he was great. And then, you know, I spent a little bit of time in Tappara with a goalie coach named Aki.
Okay.
And he was good, but I only had him for a week. But I mean, he's, you know, he works with some of the best goalies in Finland. So there's a reason he's there. And then, Jaakko in Assad, I mean, I think he's been in Liga for over 10 years as a goalie coach, and he's a really knowledgeable guy. We stayed in touch over the summer, and he's given me some pointers on my game.
Do these guys have Instagram? We got to tag them in the podcast. Sure.
I think they do, but they're pretty private.
Okay.
And that's a Finnish thing, guys.
No, it is.
Seem to be pretty private. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, just the mindset thing, like we've talked about, and you know, being positive. And in terms of over here, for your question about goalie coaches over here, I mean, I've had a lot of great goalie coaches over the years.
Just before we go over to here now, I'm going to back us up again.
You'll edit all this. Yeah, so it's all good.
I don't know. Maybe. Did you ever get to see, because you played in West Rock League in Calgary. So, you know, the obviously the, you know, big legend in Calgary is a Finnish goaltender.
Oh, Mika Kiprasov.
Mika Kiprasov, yeah.
He was a bit before my time.
He was. Did you get to see him in Finland at all?
Oh, did I get to see him in Finland? Yeah, I didn't see him. I didn't see him, but he was at the game we played with Assad against TPS, and they had a jersey retirement, and apparently he was in the building.
Oh, okay, but
he played for TPS for a while, but I didn't see him. Met a few goalie coaches, Pekka Rinne.
Yeah,
he was over there.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, I saw him around the rink, and
Because he's retired now. He retired, what, 2 years ago, I think?
Retired now, and he's the development guy for the Preds.
Okay.
For Europe, so.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, it's there's so many good goalies over there, right? And it's such a great goalie country. And Swedish, same thing, too. Like, Sweden is, you know, they have a lot of great goalies, too. So
they do. They do. I mean,
there's a lot of good goalies coming from everywhere. And you just try and pick up some different things, and it helps your game. And for me, I just want to be someone who's coachable, and I listen. And
good for you.
You know,
always getting better.
The reality is, and it's something you told me a few years ago, is that a coach is trying to win. They have the same goals you do. You're both trying to win for the team.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you're both, your goal is to win.
Yeah.
So even if they say things that maybe you don't want to hear, it's just trying to help you.
They are, and even though they may not know it or maybe say the wrong things, but they are.
Like, when I pictured, going to Europe, I had heard, you know, that, well, you know, you get a lot of days off and you get to travel a lot. And Finland, it's hard. Like, it's like almost military style training, 2 skates a day.
So, I know. I've seen those Finnish hockey commercials.
They're hard, and it's old school coaching.
Yeah.
It's great coaching. I really like it. I mean, obviously there's a bit of a culture change going on in North America where coaches can't do and say certain things. I think over in Europe, the mental part of it, of challenging guys mentally, is still alive and well. And, you know, I think that it's positive and negative. I mean, you know, I think you look at a guy like Herb Brooks that coached the 1980s team, and you probably couldn't do some of that stuff now.
No.
Like skating a team after a game and stuff, but that stuff still can happen.
I remember doing that in the Western Hockey.
Yeah, that stuff still can happen.
Keeping the equipment on.
So.
Driving for 10 hours and skating.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I mean, everybody's different, right? Mm-hmm. And players are all different. Like, some players are going to respond really well to criticism, some aren't. And that's the big thing. And I think from a coaching standpoint, like, they need to really understand there's difference. You can't just treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
Because some players will fold
if
they're called out. So,
and some will actually
and some will respond. Strive. Yeah.
Respond. So. That reminds me of a, he's actually the head coach of the Minnesota Wild, Dean Evason.
Yeah.
Right. With him, when he played in Kamloops, their coach is now, he's now passed away. I think he got suspended from the OHL for life. I can't think of his name, but anyways, Dean loved him. He loved the guy.
Yeah.
And then there was another guy in his team who was like a first round draft pick that year, who basically called his dad in tears and said, "Dad, I come get me. I got to get out of here." And, you know, fortunately his dad turned him around.
Yeah.
But same coach, just two different personalities taking what the coach did a different way. Right.
Yeah.
Dino was kind of like your mentality with your Swedish, with your Finnish goalie coach was like, just push me as hard as you can.
Yeah.
I just want to get better.
And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, for the most part, like, coaches are trying to give the best to the players.
Yeah.
And even if things come across the wrong way. And I know that's been a hot topic in the NHL lately, is with, you know, different coaches and
how it's crazy.
But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, certain things, it has to be a certain way, but, you know, every situation is a little bit different. So it's hard to just paint it in black and white.
I just think there's one thing I wish coaches would do, and that's eliminate sarcasm. Because that does not help their. I don't know if you've ever had a coach be sarcastic with
you. Yeah, a bit.
But that,
I know you've talked to about some other goaltenders that have experienced that.
That is detrimental. That is just dead, and the coaches they don't know it. Okay, so over here, North America, what goalie coaches on the ice have influenced you the most over here in North America?
There's been a few. I mean, obviously, Sean Murray is somebody who I've worked with since I was like 10 years old. He's been somebody that's helped me a lot.
Yeah, with Performance Goalie Schools.
Performance Goalie Schools. He's a big Instagram guy, so
yeah, he is.
It's easy to find him.
But I almost got to see him when I went to present you your journal the other day. I just missed the session.
He was in a hurry, so you didn't get to see him. But yeah, he's been great. I mean, you know, he's helped me a lot. Yeah. I think I wouldn't be as technically solid without him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I'm a strong skater, and I have a good technical foundation. I think a lot of that comes from him. But I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, everybody talks about skating, and I do think that's one of the strongest parts of my game. Like, I'm very fast, and I move around, especially at 6'3". It's not easy to skate like that fast.
Yeah. And you're getting taller. You're almost 6'4" now.
Yeah, I keep growing. So it's been great. But I mean, that goes back. I didn't start hockey till I was 8.
Mm-hmm,
and I didn't start goalie till I was 9. And I remember I wasn't a very good skater. And like my mom put me in skating less, like skating, yeah. like power skating. And she made me wear the goalie gear. So I'm doing like end and back and goalie
gear. That's
and
awesome.
It made me a good skater.
Yeah. And,
but yeah, Sean Murray for sure. Eli Wilson, another guy.
Yep. That,
he was my goalie coach in Vancouver with the Giants.
Yep.
And he was great. He was great. I really enjoyed working with
Eli's
him
in Vancouver. Really good.
And I still enjoy working with him. And, you know, I feel he's somebody that's helped my game a lot too.
In which ways has he helped your game?
Just in terms of thinking the game, I mean, okay. really being a pro, I think that that's the thing. And just understanding that, you know, you don't need to do everything. And I mm-hmm. think that's the one thing that, that I've learned is that I used to think I needed to do everything
yep.
and I wasn't accomplishing anything. And now I feel like I only need to do what's needed.
It's the 80-20, the Pareto principle.
Yeah.
The 80-20, you get 80% of your results and 20% of what you do.
For sure. And, you know, I think that, you know, for him, he thinks about, okay, what's happening in games and mm-hmm. develops the drills around that. And like, even this summer, I worked with him this summer a bit and I feel he helped my game a lot. I feel like my stance is better now. I feel like.
Are you whispering in case Sean hears?
Yeah. Whispering in case Sean hears. No, but it, you know,
I'm joking about it. You gotta edit that out.
Every goalie coach is good. And, you know, I mean, obviously it can be a competitive space, but, yeah, I mean, Eli's a great coach. His resume speaks for itself. Yeah. And, you know, he's somebody that's helped me a lot too. But I would say those are the two main guys. I mean, I've worked with a lot of different goalie coaches over the years. Mm-hmm. I think that you can get something from everybody.
Yeah, you can.
That's
you
the
can.
Big thing. Like,
you are your very best goalie coach, yeah. no matter what. Because you gotta filter and learn and continue to learn.
For sure. But those are the two main guys, I would say. I mean, I've spent some time with some other goalie coaches. Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like I've gotten something at different points in my career. Mm-hmm. Like one goalie coach might be able to provide something for you
yep.
at a certain point of your career that, you know, helped you then, and then things change. So, but yeah, it's been awesome with those guys.
That's great. And then what has been the biggest change in your mindset? And we're going back a bit since you and I started working together. So going back like a few years, what is the difference in how you see you view the game or your confidence or resetting all that stuff? What would you say? What are the biggest differences?
I've learned to be consistent.
Okay.
That was an issue I had when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I was a bit inconsistent. And now I feel like I'm pretty much the same goalie every game.
Yeah.
And
no matter what happens externally,
no matter what happens. And I mean, last year, that was a great example of that. And last season, there wasn't much adversity. I mean, every game was either mm-hmm. great or it was good.
You know?
And so, I mean, that's fun. Obviously, it's, you know, it's more fun to win than lose. And we won a lot of games. But I would say just focusing on what's important. You know, I used to do a lot of things. Like I'd have all these things I needed to do on game day. And you're mm-hmm. reading, you know, how to be a goalie book. And,
yep.
you know, all these, like yeah. there's so many people are selling you on everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for me, I just kind of looked at, okay, you know, what's really important to me? Well, the mental side of the game is super important. So, yeah. you know, that's where you come in. And in terms of just my body, it's just making sure I'm in, you know, good shape to play, like yep. in terms of, you know, good flexibility, good.
And you have a fitness guy, not a fitness guy you work with specifically. And then don't you have someone?
Yeah, there's always someone with the team.
Like
body coach.
A chiro or yeah, a body coach.
Body coach. I mean, it's a chiropractor, but yeah. really a body coach. And that was something this summer spent a lot of time with. But I mean, overall, just focusing on what's important and cutting out the things that don't matter. And, you know, I've had coaches say that the guys that are really successful don't worry about the noise.
Yeah.
And they just focus on what's in front of them. And I feel like for me, when I was younger, I worried a little bit too much about the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just focus on what's important. And even though for me, my career is coming along at a little bit of an older age, it still doesn't matter because it's still coming along.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the one thing that maybe, you know, and it might just be my mindset, and it's funny because when I say it, it rubs people the wrong way because of the fact that, you know, I was a multi-year starter in the Western Hockey League and I've played, you know, over 100 pro games and played in Liga and stuff like that. But I think for me, like, and it's not a negative at all,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I think for me, like, I'm never satisfied with anything. Like when I look at myself, I believe I'm a really good goalie. I do. Like I really like a lot of things about my game.
Yep.
You know, I like my skating. I like my technique. I've got the size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I went to Finland, I learned how to read the game. Like I really learned how to read the ice and move better laterally. So I like my game. But with that said, you know, when I look at my career, like I still don't feel like I've accomplished anything in terms of, you know, no championships,
just getting started,
no goalie of the years. And that motivates me.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys are satisfied. You know, they go home in the summer and they say, oh, well, I had a good year, or oh, I played in a good league, or, you know, and that's great. And I still am very thankful for that. But at the same time, like for me, I'm pushing for more.
And that's what makes you better.
Yeah. Like I don't want to just be another guy.
No.
Like I want to be the best. And, you know, like I said, when I, you know, when people say, oh, you know, you've accomplished all this stuff, like, how do you do it? I don't look at it like that. No. Because for me, I'm always thinking, you know, I can be better. Like, you know, with my size and my skill level, I should be so much further ahead.
Yeah.
And, but things take time. And, you know, when you're 15, 16 years old, and you're hearing these stories about, you know, Antti Niemi, Tim Thomas, these guys that get into the NHL at 30, you're thinking, how does it take that long? Like, that's crazy. And then you start realizing that, you know, circumstances happen and you got to make the most of it.
Adjust.
And, you know, for me, my goal is just to get better every day. And I'm a better goalie now than I was last season. And I was a better goalie last season than the season before that. And if I can continue to do that every year, then, you know, sky's the limit. And that's my focus. And, you know, like I said, I'm so fortunate to be surrounded by such great coaches, both on the ice and off the ice. And, you know, I'm really fortunate to have the best resources available to me to, you know, be able to have success. And, you know, that's something that I'm really, really thankful for.
Awesome. Let's finish up with this. What's the biggest advice you have for our listeners? Let's say there's like a young goaltender listening out there, and or let's say there's a young goaltender, say, playing minor hockey or youth hockey, say they're like 14 or 15, or there's a goalie in the Western Hockey League or major junior listening, or there's a goalie in college listening. What's the biggest advice that you have for them? Would it be the same for all of them? Would it be a little different?
I mean, it's going to be a little different for everybody. But the biggest thing is just, you know, obviously number one would be work hard.
Yep.
That's the key. If you don't work hard, you're going to fade out. Unless you have, you know, crazy talent and you can get to a certain level on talent, you got to work hard.
Yeah.
And aside from working hard, it's just be the best you can be. Don't compare yourself to others, because there's a natural tendency to say, oh, well, you know, this other goalie did this, so I need to do this. Just worry about yourself and focus on being the best you can be. And it doesn't matter if you're playing AAA or single A or double A. If you work on improving, you're going to be a better goalie because of that. And eventually you'll get to where you want to get to.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest key, I would say.
Okay. Awesome. You heard it here. Pete Fry, the Goalie Mindset Guy, Goalie Mindset Podcast. This has been Cody Porter. Phenomenal podcast here. And look for Cody. Follow him. What's your Insta? You have quite a few followers. What's your Instagram handle? It's
Cody Porter 88.
You probably follow him already, but if you don't, it's Cody Porter, all one word, 88. Anything else?
I think that's everything.
That's good.
Thanks so much.